You are listening to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. Expand your mind and keep it love.
I mean more so this, like, a buddy made the comment to me before, it's an old saying, iron sharpens iron.
Correct.
You know, and it's like, we want to get sharp, we want to stay lit, you know, like, we want to stay up, we want to be bright. And I think that a major way to do that is to stay connected and to engage with other people who aren't like us. You know, we have differences, but we're all sort of striving for the same thing, but our differences sort of, like, bring out, you know, they bring out the similarities, they bring out the best in each other, and it keeps us motivated and competitive and these sort of things.
Totally. I mean, for myself, the most valuable I have for myself, I'm recording now, so you know.
Yeah, I'm good.
We'll just let that fly. You did great. So we'll let that fly. It's very important, man, because what happens is people, they fall into this habit of laziness where they don't pursue things mm-hmm. that are gonna, you know, that are gonna help them. So they're afraid of adversity, basically. I know that we spoke before and you told me about some adversities that you had to deal with yourself at a young age, and you, when you mm-hmm. decided to go your own direction, which I remember that. And it's important that you, especially at a young age, that you see what that adversity is really about. You see who your friends are, you see what life is about, and how you're going to make it through to the next day type shit.
Yeah, well, and I think that in facing adversity, we learn a couple of things. One is how to face defeat, and furthermore, learning how to get back up, which I think is majorly important. And two is also how great we feel when we face adversity and we actually succeed.
So, Alan, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, so this way my listeners, because the podcast already started a few minutes ago, so we might as
well. Right,
we're already warmed up talking. So tell us about who you are, what you do, and
Cool. Yeah, well, my name is Alan Turton. I'm an artist living in basically Vancouver, Canada. And what can I say? I grew up in Ontario in a sort of middle class, somewhat conservative household. Bless my parents. You know, went to school, very focused, got the grades. Always had love for art and theater and, like, I was never, like, put in very much sports for whatever reason. So I think that my outlet was in the arts and drawing, coloring, like, making little comic strips or, like, anything that was like, yo, this is me. But that never really was cool with my dad for, like, a career thing. So obviously when you're a teenager, like, you get encouraged, okay, well, you got to get the grades and that's going to get you to college and that's going to get you to fucking whatever, like, you know, just go on down the line. So I went down the line. Mind you, I took, like, I did next year of high school, and I actually traveled for half a year after high school.
You went to Europe, you said? You went
to Europe. Africa. I went to Africa and Europe, actually, which was
what
awesome.
What about Africa?
Zimbabwe.
Damn.
Yeah, it was cool, man. Like, that was a trip. That was... The thing I learned from my travels then was there's like 7 billion people in the world. They're all living their lives somehow. And it's different. And then to come back to where I grew up in Ontario, and it's like, this is how you're supposed to live. I'm like, yo, well, like, that's not how they live in fucking Zimbabwe, you know?
Right.
Like,
right. Totally you can get do it. What I you totally want. Get it.
And it yeah. works. Anyhow, so, but this was all with the mindset of like, okay, but you're still going to go back home and go to university. And then, because I thought that's what I had to do, that's what I did. So I went to university, studied neuroscience with the goal of being a brain surgeon. So studied real hard in school, met a bunch of awesome people, actually got into medical school. I was accepted to medical school.
Nice. But I nice.
Yeah. And that was cool for, like, talk about adversity, man. Like, it's not easy to get into med school. It's not easy to get grades. Anyone who has that as a goal, like, props to you for making it through that shit, because that's not easy. Like, that's...
Right. No,
that's
I know it's not. Stuff. I know it's not. I know that. That's crazy.
But
that's crazy
the thing
stuff.
That happened... Yeah. But the thing that happened to me during that time was that I started maturing as, like, an independent person, you know? And I started meeting people because I did my schooling in Toronto, and I grew up in Owen Sound, which is a smaller town outside of, like, it's like 3 hours out of Toronto, pretty small town. And then when I went to the city and started seeing people like living life like this and like that, I'm like, whoa, like there's options, you know?
Right.
And if you can focus and if you can step up, like if you can apply yourself, then you can do basically what you want to do.
Right. Agreed.
So I started making a lot more artwork in university. I was going through a bit of a crisis because I basically didn't want to be a doctor, and I was getting depressed because everyone in my life was being like, yo, you got to go be a doctor. I'm like, I don't want to.
Right.
Started making art.
Right. And it's good that you decided that young.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because I actually feel like I was late.
Nah, some people, they live a whole lifetime. That's a facade. Like, they'll live a whole life. It's funny. Yeah. When I was, God, I was 17 years old working in a flower shop in Midtown Manhattan. And the lady behind the register, she was a college student, but I guess she took a lot of philosophy and stuff like that. But yeah. She would always make these really profound statements on the job, you know. But one time we went to register and we were doing small talk. And she goes, you know that there's a book about a guy that was waiting for a certain moment to come in his life. And he lived his whole life and that moment never came.
Yeah.
And I never forgot that shit. I don't know how astute or scholarly you are, but there is some story like that where this guy's waiting for this whole moment in his whole life for this moment to come, and it never comes. And it kind of just blew me away because I was like, you know, people basically, they waste their lives.
Yeah. Well, and I think that a major thing that I've been learning and that I have started to apply and remind myself of is you got to cultivate the space in your life to make your life happen. Like, you got to give yourself room. You got to clean up your space. You got to clean up your environment. And if you don't have a clean space, you need to, like, go to church or something. Like, go to...
Yeah,
go
no, I agree with you. It's order. You need order. You need logos.
You need order.
You need logos.
And not necessarily control, though. Because this is the thing, is that, like, it was a big thing when I started painting. Be like, oh, what are you going to paint? I'm like, yo, I don't know. But right. What I'm going to imagine, instead of imagining what I'm going to paint, I'm going to imagine creating a healthy space in which I can paint. And by the time I get to that space, by the time it's clean, by the time it's healthy, then I can paint something, and it worked.
Right. Yeah, order. It's order. Basically what it is, it's order. It's like, that's what happens when a person lives an undisciplined life in that, see, you have a discipline. You're an artist. So you're able to focus your skills down to a really fine point where you're able to do stuff that most people can't do, right?
Well, they haven't practiced.
I don't have that art in me. I just don't. And I know I don't. My gift, honestly, and I've known it from a really young age, is talking.
Okay.
I've been talking. I was shining shoes when I was, God, 9 years old, man. On the street. Shining shoes. So I'm used to talking.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, well, okay, yeah. Miguel, you tell me a little bit about yourself. I know that obviously this is your podcast, you're the host, but I'd love to at least hear a little bit of what got you where you're at.
All right, I'll do a real quick synopsis. And I've said it, if people listen to this, you've heard this before. If not, I'll say it real quick. I was born in 1959, so I'm technically right now I'm 60, just turned 60. So, but I feel young. I feel great, you know? And I grew up in downtown Brooklyn, poor. My pops died when I was 6, and my mom, you know, she had difficulties. She was not the healthiest person. She had issues with her health. So at 6 years old, you know, no dad, I had a scrape, and you know, we were on welfare, and at the point in time that we had welfare, it wasn't that you had these EBT cards, these plastic cards. Actual soldiers came on military trucks, and you had a letter, and the letter said, you know, 10 pounds of cheese, so they give you 2 bricks, blah blah blah. Anyway, I grew up like that. Long story short, man, when computers hit right around 1987 or something, I got the first computer that came out. It was a Microsoft. I'm going to jump right to that point because all I did was play basketball, run around South Brooklyn. I stayed out of trouble for the most part. You know, I just was always into reading philosophy. I started reading philosophy when I was like 14, 15 years old. So computers came out right around 86 or something like that. I bought the first one that came out. It was a Microsoft clone, IBM XT. It didn't have a hard drive. It booted up with a 5 1/4 floppy. And I got into programs like DBase and Clipper and stuff like that, which evolved into Access, which I'm still using right now. And that, honestly, I have 2 semesters of college in my background, but that what changed my whole life is my computer skills. And I'm a decent programmer. I know SQL. I know, you know, ODBC. I'm a decent programmer, some basic. I do a lot of databases and validation and menu-driven, you know, like a lot of computerized stuff. I love my computer stuff. So that's basically, you know, I moved out to the suburbs of New Jersey where I got a kid right now. He's 30 years old, and he's doing well, thank God. I've been married 35 years, and I just plug away. I'm constantly working on projects and doing stuff. I've been into podcasting now about a year and a half. I'm close to 90,000 downloads, which is not bad.
Right.
It's challenging, I'll be honest with you sometimes, because like I said, I'm not talking about beer farts and stuff like that. I come out here and I try to bring substance to you know, that's worth your time to listen to. If you're going to take the time to listen, I might as well fill it with something of value. So, I'm just here to work hard. I'm into all different kind of things. My hobbies and stuff that I really like are computers. I'm big into that. And philosophy. Like lately, I've really been big into the philosophy. But I have to say, the love of my life lately has been podcasting. I just love it, man. It's great, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's how I found you. I think I found your podcast through Instagram searching.
Interesting.
I probably searched Alpha Male or something. I was on some
and it popped
trip.
Up.
Yeah, wow. And I was like, all right, I'll check this out. So appreciate your philosophy. Appreciate that you're putting that stuff out there, because not a lot of people make philosophy cool. You know what I mean? Like that dialogue, they don't. It's like it's applicable.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because there's times that I'll be looking for a podcast, and if I hear that podcast voice, I move on to the next podcast, and here's the voice. Well, today we, and I don't want to hear that. I want to hear talking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I kind of can relate to that in the sense of finding something that you can connect with as far as what's going to edify you and then what's going to bring value to you, to your day, you know, that you're going to take out to listen. So I totally agree with that, man.
Yeah. Well, and so rolling with that, like I'm talking to a buddy. I was on a call earlier today with this guy. I call a buddy from high school. And I like to call people, I like to pay it forward. I'm in a good mood. I've done my work. I want to pass the buck and see what's up with people in my life. How you doing? Just a simple shout out to see what's going on in these people's lives and to lift people up and be like, you know what? Like you're capable and you're valuable and cultivate that value. I think is the main message, is there's a lot of people who are sitting around lost, including myself some afternoons. Do you know what I mean? Just kind of like
sometimes me too.
And the message is that you're valuable, and there's a way to cultivate that.
Agreed.
And adversity is a hell of a way to do it.
Agreed. See, I'll tell you what it is when it comes to adversity, because I dwell on this topic so much, right? It's been the driving force of my life, I must say, to be honest with you, when I really think about it right now. Realistically speaking, I mean, adversity has been the linchpin of my whole life, and what it is, it's the yin and yang of existence. It's like, how can you really laugh if you've never cried, right? So how are you going to achieve real success? And I mean you achieving it, not somebody handing it to you. But it's actually achieve success and do things if you don't have to go through some type of adversity. And it's both ends of the same thing. It's the duality that we're in, you know?
Dude, and you know what the thing is, bro? Is that it's the fear of failure. People won't do things because they're afraid of fucking losing or being judged or it not working. And they play this drama in their heads. They've already lost before they began. So they start doing these behaviors in advance of the whole thing that actually, it's like they give themselves a handicap in advance so that when the time comes for things to actually go, you know?
You know what I find, Alan, that I find a lot of times is that they don't like you said, cultivate, and the word that you chose there frames it perfectly. to cultivate, like you said, your garden to do. You use the word cultivate, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like from a young age, let's say I'm going to use the example because it's the only example I can give as a young man. You need to cultivate your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the world around you. And you do that by taking an active but not passive approach, actively seeking out the world. When my pops died when I was 6 years old, it threw me into a loop because all the million questions I had, I used to ask him. And he would answer me to the best of his ability, you know. Mm-hmm. But after that, I had so many questions in my life, I would literally seek out the answers to all of these questions. So I would see a guy digging a hole in the street. And I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, we're digging a hole. Why? Because the pipe broke. Why did the pipe break? Because it's 100 years old. Why is it? And he, get out of here, kid, right? But if you do that enough, it's going to accumulate on you.
Yeah, so, and then eventually you kick in the door and you'd be like, yo. Right, remember when I started my business, hey? Like, so I did the artwork, started selling art, and I still sell art, like, through whatever, you know, like, Instagram or Facebook or, like, people I'd meet. But
he's very successful. Check him out on Instagram. He's very good at what he does. Thanks. And his art.
Well, and it's always growing, because as soon as you become stagnant, you're done. Like, it's right. A state of mind. You know what right. I mean? It's a state of mind, and that's a daily task. And it's amazing because it evolves. So last Christmas, I started doing window painting for Christmas. And that was the beginning of my commercial season, meaning that was the beginning of when I started doing business with other business owners, which was big.
So prior to that, you weren't making money with the art prior to that?
No, I was. Oh, fuck, dude, I was making plenty of art. But I was like, yo, something's off, because I'm not trying to be like an artist to be some like whimsical dude. Like, I want to make a living, you know what I mean? Like, I own a business, and my business is the arts.
Gotcha.
Like, gotcha. You understand that? So I'm gotcha. Like, hey, and it turns out that business owners, like successful business, whether you're selling coffee, shoes, shining shoes, or painting, the successful business owners all have a very similar mindset. There's a way to do it. And they set goals, you know, they're accountable. Like, you can go through the list of successful entrepreneurial mindsets, but it's all that. Stay sharp. And sort of keep grinding thing.
Totally.
So I remember when I first started knocking on doors for my work, like for the commercial work, like I would knock on the first business and I'm kind of nervous. And I'm like, yo, like, oh, I paint windows. Like, I want to paint your windows or whatever. And they're like, yeah, right. You're going to paint my windows. See you later. I'm like, okay, whatever. I go to the next door. Hey, I'm Alan. And as I go from door to door, I'm kind of rehearsing. I'm like, hey, that first door didn't work.
You get better and better.
Legit, yeah. And then after I'm like kicking in the door, I'm like, yo, I'm Alan and the window painter. Like, I see your window. And they're like, oh, I want you to paint my windows.
You start making decisions and shit.
That's right, yeah.
Right?
So that works.
You're good at it.
Yeah, it worked. And then that becomes a skill in your sort of arsenal that you can apply. And that's right. The thing is that skill, they don't teach you that skill in school.
Correct. And that skill will pay your bills.
That skill is what pays the bills, man. That's it.
Right.
You're putting yourself out there. And that's the thing. I don't care if you're an artist. I don't care if you're a philosopher. I don't care if what you are. Like, it's like if a tree falls in a forest and no one's around. If someone makes a beautiful piece of work, but no one sees it, like, it's basically worthless, at least in your lifetime. You know what I mean? And I was never trying to be some guy who's like before his time or not. I want to be like wealthy and healthy and awesome while I'm alive, man. And I'm going to do it with my work.
Right. Agreed. No, your outlook is really positive, man, which is one of the reasons it's good to exchange a conversation with you, because you have a very positive outlook. You see the world as it is. You're an old soul, you know, like, because I noticed that when you talk to a person right away, you could get an idea of the depth that they have as far as their life experience. And some of it might have to do with their age, but sometimes it's not. And for your age and everything like that, you're an old soul. Like, you have some knowledge of different things like that. Even when we have conversations with the things that you've mentioned from my podcast and different things, I can hear it. It's like your light is turned on, man. You know, you're on, you know, you're engaged. Like, where a lot of people are not. So adversity, man, that's the topic. And what I found, you know, the actual title of the show was to make adversity your friend. See how you can relate to that.
The obstacle is the way. The obstacle is the way, right? That's it.
The obstacle is the way.
There you go. That's it, man. Fucking is, dude.
It's so like freaking. Is that Aristotle? I think.
I don't know, man.
No, it's Marcus Aurelius.
That's true. Marcus. He probably heard it from Aristotle.
Yeah. And it's true. Like people, like they just shy away from. To me, if you're going to shy away from adversity, you're shying away from growth. So it's the same thing, just a different polarity.
And iron sharpens iron, and this is what I mean. Like, I want to give you like a very recent story in my life. and I've been blogging, by the way. I've been recording.
That's a reggae song, you know, right? Or Iron Sharpens Iron. That's an old reggae song, and it's a really good one, by the way. But go ahead, man. Yeah.
So, but my point is this. Like, if somebody dares you to do something and you're with your buddy, no matter how extreme it is, like, you're like, okay, fuck, well, like, I'm committed. I'm going to do this. But if you're alone, like, you're probably going to, likely going to do some midget version of it because no one's around to see it. You know what I mean? Right. Like, when you're being grilled, like, you're going to perform. So, I connected with this guy locally here who's training. He's an intense dude. I've been going to the gym lots. I met him at a yoga studio and just noticed his practice. I'm like, this guy is an animal. And actually asked him straight up when I met him, like if he was in martial arts. And he said, yeah. So we went to the gym. I go work out. I do like CrossFit style exercise, pretty intense stuff. That's a whole world in itself, which I love to go into. But the key here,
that CrossFit's crazy shit.
And the key here is physical exercises to put your body through tests to sharpen your mind. Cause the body's not going to lie. Like if you're going to climb a mountain, like in your underpants, you know what I mean? Like you got to be pretty clear-headed to do that.
Yeah, because it's discipline. It's discipline.
And then you apply that discipline to whatever your mental practice is in your life, your relationships, and it works. But if you don't have that, I really feel like that physical practice is crucial. So crucial.
I'm going to agree with you too. Yeah, I mean it's just common sense, really. I don't know if it's common sense, but it makes sense. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
it makes perfect sense.
So the other day, I say to buddy, "Let's go for a swim in the water." Now this is December, right? And the water I'm talking about at the beach, like it's the ocean and it's pretty cold. But in the summertime, I used to go down to the beach every single day, practice my strokes, like get in. The ocean's an exciting place all on its own.
In the cold weather you would go to?
Yeah, man. Out in the cold water.
Nah, I don't like the cold.
Get this. Like, I want to show, because this is adversity. Like, this is some recent adversity that I just want to put out.
That's Wim Hof type shit.
Totally Wim Hof. And Wim Hof is a big inspiration. The Iceman. This guy's lit.
No, I know. For real, bro. With the breathing. I learned a couple of things. The thing I learned with him is really the importance of the breath, man.
Yeah, the breath and the cold. The cold too, man.
Right, both. With him, it's both.
It's merciless. So basically I say to buddy, like, let's go swim out to the pier. And he's like, all right, I'm in. So that's the dare. That's the challenge, right? So we go down to the water the next morning. It's like whatever, 7. Do a bit of a run and then get this too. I committed to swimming out to the pier. So the night before, I'm like, this is insane. But I'm doing it. So like I'm prepping my life. Like I'm not spending my night like doing just whatever. Like my night is sharpening my life and my, like I'm getting
tuned. You're engaged.
Right. Next morning I wake up, it's like 5 a.m, contact buddy. He's like, you in? I'm like, I'm in. We go down to the pier, go for the run, and then we get out in the water and start swimming. Like I jump in the water. And this swim is like 150 to 200 meters to get to where the pier is, like to get to the dock at the pier.
Right.
People in this town, like they go walk along a boardwalk and then they walk out on the pier, you know, like on the wood or whatever. They walk out on the platform. They say, oh, what a beautiful morning. They go back with their coffees and their sweatshirts and have a good day. Or people go for runs.
And you're ready to jump in.
Well, we go from the shore to swim the length of the pier, sort of alongside the pier. Because I did that in the summertime. And it's like, dude, swimming, amazing exercise.
Yeah, I'm a good swimmer. I don't like the cold water.
Well, so this is what happens. So we jump in and I'm like, oh, like start swimming. Like, yeah, this is fresh. This is cool. And I'm going to warm up to it. And it's going to be great. Because once you start swimming, you get warm. And it, you know how it is. Like even in the summertime, you jump in the water and it's cold at first and you get used to it, right?
Right. Correct.
Hey, didn't get used to it. I start swimming. It's like a quarter of the way through. I'm like, yo, this is cold, man. Like, I can't breathe. Like,
and right.
Holy man. I'm like, this is like, I'm like, when's the, and it didn't come. But I keep swimming, right? And the seals are out. And my buddy's ahead of me. He's doing a good forward stroke. And he's up there with the seals, like, just, he's doing it. And I'm like, okay, well, like, in my head, I'm like, slow and steady, because that's what I did in the summertime. But if you go too slow, the blood's not pumping, you get cold.
Right, agreed. Yeah, I haven't done it, but it makes sense.
By halfway through this swim, my arms were numb. Literally numb. They felt like
you're not moving fast enough. You were not circulating your blood fast enough.
And I'm thinking in my head, like, yo, like, this, now I got, like, danger zones happening. So now I'm like, this is, like, I'm out here, like, I'm tired, I can't breathe, and I'm fucking freezing. And I still got, like, a distance left. And then this is where all your doubts, all your whatevers, all your, like, unconscious, like, bullshit thoughts.
Right.
Like, a bottleneck.
Your shadow shit.
Yeah. But so I had a choice, like succumb to the shadow and basically drown. And that wasn't the ticket for me. I literally said a prayer in my heart. I'm like, God, like show me, like, give me the focus, give me the clarity. Like, I need this because I need to make
now,
it. Like,
I need it now. I need it right now.
And then it's like, tune in, start pumping it. Arms warmed up, got there 3/4 in. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm tired, but I'm like, okay, I'm making it, you know? Get out to the pier and fucking made the swim. Got back, I'm literally convulsing because it's freezing cold. But what I'm getting at is that challenge, that dare that we went through, dude, the rest of my day I was like walking on sunshine. Because the thing is, that swim was possible from the very beginning. And the swim became even more possible once I let go of all my bullshit thoughts, which took halfway through the swim. But if I started the swim with that attitude, I'd have been like, my buddy swam out to the pier and back. Fucking crazy.
That's powerful. That's powerful.
You feel me on that?
Yeah, that's powerful.
So yeah. Now this morning I go out to the pier. My buddy, he wasn't able to make it. And it was a bit dramatic that day for my daily routine. But like, I go to the gym every day and I know that like activity is better than none. So I go last night, I'm still like, okay, like I'm going to go in the water this morning, wake up this morning, go down to the beach. And I'm like, I'm going to do a more mild version of it. And I started from the shore and I timed myself. I'm like, hey, even if I can stay in the water for like a minute and only do four, like I want to go in the water for a minute. I'm not going to swim out to the pier, but I want to go in the water for a minute. And I want to do heavy, like, forward stroke swimming. And I don't want to be cold. I'm going to keep swimming. And I'm going to get my blood pumping. I'm just going to make it a good swim. Did that for a minute. Got out of the water. Like, walked back to shore. Like, shallow water stuff. Like, I sort of decreased the ante a little bit. But that I can do that daily. I can do that tomorrow. And I can start building up my strength. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the point there is the discipline. Like, you don't have to bite the whole thing off at once. Like, but I think that like focusing on, and in my business, it's a big thing too, where like sometimes I'm like, oh, I want to do these huge projects, like whether it's a mural or it's like a big idea that a client has. I'm like, yeah, I want to jump right in. And I do. But it often puts me in a crisis zone. And I'm learning now, especially in the gym practice, focusing on the little victories. And I think that like, if you can focus on like, okay, what do I got to do in my day and not be like, it's massive. And then you get so anxious, you don't do anything and you just fail before you start.
You know, can I just tell you one thing, Alan? I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm hearing it right now, and it's just coming through to me. You're a very high energy guy. I am also a very high energy guy. And I'll tell you something. Most people are not at the high energy level that we're both at. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
We're both high energy. I'm hearing it now as you're talking, because I kind of hear myself echoing in that you're high energy. So what happens is people... How can I explain it? There's people that wish they could be that way, and they're taking medications and they're doing all kind of stuff and everything like that. But you push yourself. You're that A to like it. You know who's like that too? Professional athletes.
Yeah, man.
I think that's called an A type. Like, you're out for the gusto, like for whatever the fuck you're going to do. But you go out for it. But yeah. I hear that in you, but we're different. You have to understand that we're different than a lot of people, and a lot of people are going to call you crazy. And they're going to be like, why do you do that? And everything like that. But that extreme of being in the cold water is the same extreme that you would use to start a business or to attain some kind of level of education. It's all the. It comes from the same place. The determination.
Yeah, you're diving in.
Yeah, from the determination and the resilience that you have to get something done that you know you need to get done, and you just get it done. So yeah. It all comes from the same exact place. And the more you expand upon that in different arenas and different disciplines, the better. And the younger you start that, the better.
Yes, okay. And I want to touch on something really important, though.
Go.
Is that, like, I'm blessed, man. I'm fortunate in so many ways. God bless my parents and my circumstance. You know, like I got it good, and it's getting better. But it's getting better only because that's the direction that I look. And I never accept people's excuses that they make up in their minds about whether they can do such. You might not be like me in terms of, like, look at my resume. But the attitude, it's like the same spirit runs through all things. You know,
correct.
So like even, you know what, actually a major book that got me into neuroscience was this book called The Brain That Changes Itself by this guy, Norman Doidge. And it was all about this concept of neuroplasticity. And he went through these studies of people who had like traumatic brain injury, like whether it's a stroke or getting shot in the head and surviving, but massive, massive lesions in their brains. And then he followed their recoveries. And basically what it came down to was that these people, like this one guy's dad had a major stroke. Every day they went out of the backyard because he lost his ability to walk. And he started on his hands and knees like a baby. And every day they had an exercise routine where he'd crawl around like a baby. You know what happened?
Wow.
He learned to walk.
Right. Right. That makes sense. Right. Have you heard of Bruce Lipton? Epigenetics?
Not really.
All right, similar epigenetics, the same thing, neuroplasticity, just the ability to evolve and to take tremendous steps ahead, positive thinking. Yeah, it's same.
So, and the thing is that the more you do it, the easier it gets. And it's always different layers. Like when I think about a guy like Wim Hof, I imagine that, like, I don't know who he is, I don't know how he started, but like, I imagine this guy was just a guy. You know, like, because
he was a father of three, I think.
But he, something happened through these events. Like, he must have been tuned in somewhat. Well, we're all tuned in because we're all part of creation, and I truly believe that we're, if you're alive, you're winning. Like, you're in, and you got a shot.
Correct.
So, but it's like I imagine it's like spheres of consciousness. And if you're one of those guys that's sitting around and like you're working some job that is, you know, only okay, and you're taking these medications and your physical exercise is kind of blah. Okay, well, like I said, like you don't got to swim out to the pier on the first shot, but jump in that cold water in your life. So like, what can you do in your life? What's that little thing that you can do that's going to be better for you today? And make that a part of your routine. Oh, look, okay, I'm getting a bit better. And you can shed off that sludge layer. And then it's like now you're laying down the foundations for this life that you're living. And then you do that over and over. You keep on applying that situation, and then you become like this. Then you become like the Wim Hof of your life. And I feel like everybody has their own like light that they shine. And I really love seeing people like becoming themselves because we're all so different. But people like I love seeing a person when they're so them. You know what I mean? Like they're different from me, but they're like totally doing what they do.
Correct. Yeah. That's the beauty of life is being conscious and aware of these different manifestations of nature, of who we are and how we're integrating with everything that we're dealing with too. I mean, it's because you're very observant and aware. Like a lot of people, their awareness is very dim and they don't notice as much as you do.
Right.
Does that make sense?
But it's relative. Like, if you went to this guy, like Wim Hof or Bruce Lee or whatever, like, if I went to one of these guys, they'd look at me and be like, you're dim. Or they probably wouldn't say that because they're probably, like, pretty positive people. I'd imagine that they got there.
They might. But see, my whole thing with that, honestly, and you're saying that, like, oh, well, you might go to Wim Hof or Bruce Lee and he's going to say you're dim. He might, but here's the thing. I don't predicate anything on myself outside of myself. In other words, because somebody else says doesn't approve of me, doesn't affect me at all. And the only effect it might have on me is for me to improve myself.
Right. And what I mean only in saying that is that, like, how bright or dim you are is relative to, who, like, to who? You know what I mean? Like, the sun that shines in our sky is dim compared to some other stars, but it's the closest
one
we got.
That is very 100%. Right. It's all relativism.
Yeah.
100%. No, I mean, it's, you know what it is? It's like a lot of people, they don't even, I like just thinking, like, I'm the type that before, when I lay my head down a lot of times to go to sleep, I'm what I call assimilating different things that I've read and listened to and researched. I assimilate it for like an hour, sometimes 90 minutes before I go to sleep, and I kind of sort through all of these things. But I really enjoy the process of thinking and critical thinking and logic and the activity of engaging the brain. You know, a lot of people, they want to get away from that. They want to get into some, they want to mechanize their thinking, so they play digital games, you know? Although some of those games are sophisticated. Some games are sophisticated where you got to think. But a lot of times they just don't...
Escapism.
Exactly. They're escaping. As opposed to really learning true stuff.
You know? Yeah, that's going to elevate their life.
Well, to me, lately, what's really been speaking to me a lot, two things. One is that a lot of people in the community, as far as 9/11 and truth and reality and vaccines, you end up getting depressed, man. So I say to myself, yes, all of those things are true, but at the same time, you have to enhance the self, realize the self, grow, laugh, you know, integrate, you know, interview people and, you know, talk and engage with all of these different things. And it's so important that we keep an eye on that, because if not, you'll just sit here, you know, with your, freeze-dried food and waiting, you know, waiting for the bombs to drop.
A major shift that happened, I think, also, because I was like pretty big atheist, when I was like, I was raised Catholic, and then I was like, yo, like, this is whack, because I'm just doing what I'm told, and like, I have my own worldview. So I kind of rebounded, and I was like, okay, science has all these answers, which it does have a lot of awesome answers. but I was like flipping the bird to anyone who had the word God in their mouth. I was like, I'm not down with that.
A lot of people like that.
Yeah, and my point isn't so much like the God, no God thing. My point, like, so what I thought was that, like, in my, I was like, oh, I'm going to be a doctor or like some scientist or whatever. And my thought was that I could come up with some achievement, like some invention or some, like, I was like, I'm going to help the world by accomplishing some task, which is going to like objectively make the world better. So I was focusing on like the world outside of myself. I wasn't doing the work in me. I was like, if I know a lot about like subject A or B, I'm helping the world. But I was depressed in my heart. Like, if you hung out with me then, you didn't want to hang out with me because I was basically depressed.
Okay.
So I met somebody, and it was a girl I was seeing, and she's like, you're not changing shit. Like, she's like, God, change anything. You got to find it in your heart. You got to work on your heart. Because that's where you radiate. Like that's it starts in your heart and it works outwards, man. And whatever that vibe that you have, that's what you're putting into the world every fucking moment.
Right, correct. Javi was talking about the same thing about the heart. You know, it's interesting that you both illustrated in that way, but it's so true. The heart.
And it's a balance. Because then I look at my buddy who, like I said, I swam out with my friend, right? When I went to the pier. And this guy's an animal, but he's like a wild, like, needs stability animal. And he's going through his own sort of recovery in his life from some things. And actually, in my own life, I left school. And when I left school, I left structure. And I left everything. Like, I left the province. Like, I got away from all these pressures. Because I sort of went to reinvent my life. But one thing that I recognized when I left university was I was leaving that structure that I had for a long time. And that put me pretty far out, man, like through homelessness, through like starving, through like some pretty dark places, because I wasn't smart in a practical way. Like, I hadn't developed the smarts that are necessary to cultivate an independent lifestyle.
Okay. All right.
So like, even if you have like having the, if you want to get in as the balance between having the heart and the passion to do what you do, and then like as an artist, I'd say someone like Van Gogh is maybe like that. Like Van Gogh obviously loved the work that he was doing, but I never admired Van Gogh because he was a tragic person. Like he didn't seem like he was shooting in the right direction or something, you know.
He was a little kooky.
Yeah, or even someone like Kurt Cobain, man. Like I'm always careful of who are my role models, because if there's some tragic person that claims, you know, I was misunderstood or whatever, and dies, like I believe like you get what you're looking for, you know what I mean? And if you're role modeling yourself after people who are like misunderstood or whatever, my role models are people who are connecting, who are making an effort, you know what I mean? That's me anyhow, you know, and there's value in that. And that's where I found my value. That's where I found my footing. That's where I found my strength. And I think that athletes are an awesome model of that generally. Because they have the heart.
They could also mislead you too.
Sure. Okay. Okay.
Equal, you know what I mean? Like yin and yang.
Yeah, well, I think because I'm coming from the academics, which is like pretty mental outset, like I'm sort of like leaning towards like almost more like the heart physical part. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, look, struggle is struggle, whether it's breathing or practicing Wim Hof or swimming in 5 degree, not 5 degree, but like that 30 degree water, whatever their form the adversity takes. If you engage with it, it's going to benefit you because you're engaging with that which is difficult. That which is difficult causes growth. Whether you're tangibly making a profit out of it or whatever the case might be, you're engaging with that struggle and it's going to benefit you as an individual. And that's what a lot of younger people today are not understanding, is they need to be able to have that engagement. Hold on a second, I'm moving some shit. That engagement with the struggle to grow. And people just don't get it. You know what I mean? Some do, a lot don't.
Yeah, well, you kind of have to break out.
Right.
Like, absolutely. The unconscious program is go to school, get a job, get married, kids, like, retire, die, you know? Like, that's like the textbook.
Rinse, wash, and repeat.
Yeah. The thing is that it's kind of sad, man. Like, we go to school and that's basically what we're taught, like actively taught in school. And furthermore, like if you're kind of a rebel, if you feel like an outcast in that environment, you might feel like, man, what's wrong with me? Like, why am I so different? And if you're listening and you feel that way, and you're one of those guys, like you're okay. Like it is the way, like leaving that program, that's the beginning of your life.
Okay, here's what I'm going to interject, though. It's true that the struggling, the adversity, and all that is good, though, too. But I'm a real firm believer, and I think this kind of makes me different than a lot of people that I know. But I try to address everything from multiple lenses or disciplines, like and integrating all of them simultaneously, you know, so that you're taking the struggle, but at the same time, you're focusing that attention to a fine point to get you to where you need to get to without wasting. Yeah, you're putting a lot of effort, but you're putting a lot of effort to hit the target, the bullseye, yeah. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, sure. And the way you achieve that is through really just thinking and focusing and reading, like not a direct path of learning in that I'm studying how to fix an engine, but just enriching my whole life so that I'm prepared for that day when I have to fix it. You know, that I learned all of the other steps so I can arrive there.
But also, like, a major one is to go out and make the connections. Like, if you're interested in piping and you're six, then talk to the guy in the street who's doing the piping. Or if you want to be a mechanic, knock on the door. You know what I did when I first left university? I knocked on the door of an auto shop and I started sweeping the guy's floors. I said, this is useful. Like, you can pay me what you want. I just want to be around you guys because you guys seem to know what's useful. You know, there that wasn't my sense. University degree. I couldn't even change oil in a car. And I was beside some guy who was like this immigrant, you know, whatever. I mean, like, I was beside this guy who was relatively low education,
Right. Working on cars.
Don't get me caught up on. There's a lot of under the table stuff going on in this place that I was at. And what I'm getting at is this, that I was humbled because I was with people who had some hard situations, but they learned how to work.
Right. Right. No, that's the important thing is, you know, it's to stay as aware as possible in the sense of like, do you read? Have you been like reading philosophy or not too much? I know you like the Stoicism, you said, right?
I mean, I read scripture. That's sort of like my version of philosophy.
Oh, you're reading the Bible now?
And the Quran, dude. I mean, I've read the Bible cover to cover, but I'm actually started reading the Quran as well.
Yeah, I read some of the Quran, not a lot. I read some of it. Interesting. All right, cool.
But also, like, the point is networks and communities. And what I mean, like, even going back to the school thing about leaving school, I don't mean just like, okay, I'm going to fuck off. I mean, like, if there's someone that you think is like a positive role model in your life, say hello. Or if you want to do something, like, create relationships, like, become part of communities. Because what I've learned now in my work, in my business, is that my business is only as strong as the community that I'm in.
Correct.
You know? And it's constantly like, it's like a garden, man. Like, you got to go back and you got to be able to add things to it. You got to be able to clean it up. Sometimes you got to uproot something or plant something new, you know, but it's between people.
Yeah, it definitely takes work. It takes attention. It takes focus. It takes energy. You know, I mean, it takes commitment, all of these different things. So what I have found in my life, as long as I know that effort is all going towards something, whether it be just being a better basketball player, a better painter, whatever the story might be, as long as it's going towards that goal, I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
I'm doing the right thing. And it's like, I don't know. That's why I put out my last two episodes, where I did Good and Evil and Resistance, you know, Adversity, because these are topics that really are not covered. Everybody gets a trophy. You know, everybody wins a championship. You know, that whole, you can't, you know, I remember, I think they outlawed dodgeball. Didn't they outlaw dodgeball?
Really?
Yeah, I think they did while I was
reading. Shit gets violent, man.
That was the shit that, I love dodgeball. You know, and I wasn't the best, but I used to have fun.
British Bulldog?
Huh?
You ever play British Bulldog?
I've heard of it. What is that again?
It just gets rough really quick.
I've heard of it. What is it? Explain it. I'll probably dip it.
Yeah, I think it was this game where it's like, basically, like, everyone lines up on the one side of the yard, right?
Right.
And they got to run from one side of the yard to the other side of the yard. But there's a guy standing in the middle of the yard that's the British Bulldog. And then he yells British Bulldog. Everyone's got to run from one side to the other. And the guy in the middle,
I know if he tags you. Name. I know it by a different name,
What do you know it by?
Well, maybe it was British Bulldog, but I remember a game like that. I remember Hot Peas and Butter, Ringo Libio, Kick the Can.
Yeah.
You know, all them, you know, all the Skelsies. I could take fun you back. Huh?
Yeah, the fun stuff.
Yeah, man. I mean, those old games. But it's, you know, it's so important. I mean, to me, I'm a person of the mind, man. I always, if it involves anything, for it to get my attention, I got to sit and think about it, ponder it, read it, research it. See what's happening on YouTube, how they're taking all these channels down?
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, a lot of people that are talking about political stuff and stuff like that, they're getting taken down, man. I mean, it kind of sucks because that's where I get a lot of my news and my information. And when I do research, I hop on YouTube. And it's getting harder and harder to I sound like a commercial now. But it's getting harder and harder to get at the truth because they're really censoring everybody these days. They're dropping channels and it's sad, man. It's really sad because I really used to enjoy YouTube, and it's becoming thin pickings there. They're dropping all the channels. Yeah, it sucks. Really?
So I'm curious, like, what's your engagement like? Like, I know you hooked up with Javi. Is it Javi?
Javier, yeah.
You hooked up with him. Like, what's your online community like as someone who's sort of involved in podcasts, YouTube? Like, what's been your experience?
Funny enough, it's not a very exciting thing. I mean, I put my show up once a week. I probably get about 4 or 5 emails a week, emails that is, and then I might get 2 or 3 Instagrams or whatever. So I get feedback, you know, people telling me what they think or like that. And I'm left, like, doing the second show. I've gotten a couple of offers for people that want to do advertising on my show. But I don't want to take advertisers. I don't want to put a Patreon. I don't want to do that stuff. I just want to put a show out. I probably get as much out putting, you know, back to myself. I get out of it as I do, as people listening to me. And I get some really positive emails of people that, you know, they say, it's funny, but they'll say a lot of times, they'll hear me say something and it's the first time they've heard that. Or how, the way I think about stuff. They like the way I think about stuff. I get a lot of good feedback on that.
Yeah. Well, and your choice, like your topic choice is appealing.
Yeah, I try to cover a lot of different things, man. I really do. Because it's stuff that people need to know about vaccines and, you know, the Federal Reserve Bank and on and on and on, man. It's true. I cover a lot of different things, a lot of different topics.
You know, tying it into ancient philosophy, so far as I can tell.
I try to. You know what's funny, though? What I see a lot of times, I'll see four guys, they get together and they do a podcast about beer drinking and football. There's 5 billion podcasts like that, dude. I mean, what are you giving me? You know? And then in 2 weeks, it's not going to make sense because it was the Eagles versus whatever, and that moment's gone. So I try to do stuff that, you know, you can reach back into the archives and there's going to be something that there for you. You know what I mean? Different topics that'll kind of speak. You know?
Yeah, in that sense, you kind of feel like almost like a philosophy professor.
I try in the sense of just bringing stuff that I know, bringing it out so that it could speak to somebody else. And if I hit you with enough different things, enough different episodes, some of them are going to stick.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what I try for, you know what I mean? So, so you said you were thinking about doing a podcast, or you were playing the guitar. What's going on with the guitar?
For me, it's all about like cross media work, like in the whole idea of networking. Like as an artist, I never really like there's other artists that I know and I like, but like we give each other space basically. Like there's not enough room in this town for the two of us, kind of thing.
Right,
you know?
Got it.
It's not against you or whatever. Like
you mean guys that ain't like you.
Well, just like I don't like people that I learn from that are on my team are like one of them owns a coffee shop and one of them owns a mechanic shop and one of them is a podcaster. You know what I mean? Like we all have our different things about us. You know what I mean?
Right.
And through our differences, it's like Voltron, man. It's like, you know what I mean? Like one guy's the arm, one guy's the leg.
Right.
Like,
and then that. I like that concept. This,
you know what I mean?
I like that. It's like you have two people working together, person A and person B, but when you put person A and person B together, they really equal more than two. Does that make sense?
Right. Dude, I live that. That's it. And this is what I'm leaning towards. Like, thank you, by the way, for having me on this podcast.
No, please, thank you for coming on.
Well, it gives me an opportunity to share, like I share my story through whatever, through Instagramming or Facebooking or people that I meet. But for me, podcast, like being on a podcast is a relatively new medium.
It's very intimate. You get right in and you talk about what you got to say. That's what I love about it.
Well, and I found that by doing, by going into new mediums, like whether it's like now I'm doing podcasts or now I'm painting Christmas windows or now, like, you know, I started up at the gym by meeting people, by going into environments that are like unfamiliar environments. I'll go into a space that's new to me. Like, I don't know YouTube. I don't know doing YouTube videos, or I don't know like doing a website so much. But if I go into that world where it's fresh and it's new, I usually end up meeting someone in that world who's like me.
And that helps you learn.
Well, and then, but in our differences, when we join up, it's like what we've just said, then there's this greater value. Cause now this guy has been doing websites, but he's kind of stale. It's like, oh, cool. Here's this fresh dude. You know what I mean? And me, like maybe I get stale in my artwork, but now I start doing podcasts and I'm like, oh, sick. You know, but there has to be that sort of exchange.
That spark. Yeah. No, absolutely, man. I mean, it's funny. I don't know how it happened. I don't know if you started following me or if you made a comment on my podcast, but one day I looked at your art. I spent, 15 minutes. I was looking at all your stuff, flipping. And 15 minutes is a lot of time these days. You know that.
Flipping.
And I ended up liking a lot of your paintings and stuff like that because you have a lot of talent, you know?
Thanks, man.
Artistic talent. So, and then little by little, I think we started communicating more on that level. Like, I want to, how can I explain this? It's funny how friendships develop on Instagram, and that, you know, you're an artist and you paint and I do podcasting, and you just Hobby's a fighter and him and I are friends, but I see you and him talk or whatever. It's great. I think it's just such a, I don't know, man. It's such an organic thing where people can just, these days, I'm going to do it in my own basement, literally. And I'm podcasting. I'm recording on Skype, which is free, which you're telling me I might have to pay for at some point. Yeah, but it's just a crazy time that we're living in right now, that you can go and have all of these experiences, man, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to say one thing. Your artwork is really, really good. You have some good talent. I'm repeating myself here, but it's the truth. And you have value, you know, to serve, to offer. You know, you have a lot of talent. But stay on it. Don't think that, you know, you've reached the point or whatever. You got to stay on top of that and stay on top of it. And just add to your game and add to your toolbox, man, of different things that you don't know, you know? Like, yeah, and I highly recommend everybody do that too. Like, you just grow your passion for things, grow on what you do, what you're learning, how to learn and all that. You know, if you listen to my podcast, you know what I'm saying. Right. Do. That's the best way I can say is just do stuff.
You know, I found when I was making my artwork, right? Like before the commercial stuff or before doing commissions, like I was like, okay, I'm making like shit tons of art and I'm developing a style. You know, and even developing a bit of an ego, being like, yeah, this is my shit, you know. But when I started doing work for people, like whether it was a commission, like, you know, drawing a dog or like Christmas windows or whatever, I started making art for people. And it was like, now I'm providing a service. Now it's not about what I want. It's about what does this person want from me? And what I need to focus on is the quality of the work, rather than the content.
Right, because there's money involved. They're a customer.
Yeah, and there's money, and there's also, like, it's the gesture, right? Like, yeah, the money is definitely a thing, but I don't always do a job for money, you know what I mean? Like, if someone asks me to cut their grass or whatever, like, I don't know. Not that that's something that I do often, but if someone asks you to do something a certain way, you do it that way, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you have that friendship with the person, sure.
Yeah, or if there's money.
Right.
But my point is this, that to learn how to listen to people and to learn how to put what we want aside in that situation and to learn how to be like, okay, this is what this person is trying to express to me.
Right.
And how can I be of service to this person? Because if you can learn how to be of service to people, then you can learn how to add value to people's lives. And if you can learn how to add value to somebody's life, all of a sudden, you're a valuable person to be around.
Bingo. Yep.
Right?
Because you're a doer. You're a person that takes charge of different, you know, you handle your life. You handle your life. The worst thing for me is, and especially when it's a dude like a guy, it's like his toilet gets clogged or some shit happens and he's like, oh, he's got to call a plumber. Really? You got to call a plumber? and then, you know, do it. You know, I'm not saying mess with the electrical or anything like that.
Just look at
some basic stuff, man. Go get in there and do it.
Yeah, man.
But, you know, it is what it is, man. It's like that whole challenge thing. It comes back to that same challenge thing where a person, they don't want to face up to a challenge. They want the easy way out, you know?
Yeah.
Listen, we're getting close to an hour. This is 57 minutes. Definitely got to come back. You have to come back on. Hobby has to come back on. You know what? I might even do bring you and Hobby back on, the three of us.
I'd love to,
you know, because he's my people and you're my people, and yeah. So I'm gonna let it go right here. Do me a favor.
I want to say one thing, by the way. If you want to check out my stuff, check out my Instagram. Do you do it in the description of the video?
I'm gonna put a link, but go ahead and talk. Go ahead.
Okay, well, because I got my Instagram, check that out. You got my info on there, and then there's also my website. I do got one rolling.
So you got to say your Instagram name, your email, all that.
My Instagram's Turtona, which is my name's Alan Turton. So my website's Alan Turton. Instagram is Turtona. That's Turton A. It's basically just my name. And if you want to learn how to spell that, look in the description. But if you want to reach out, say hello, whatever you want to say, just connect. Please do. I'd love to hear from you. Whatever you got to say, bless up. And if you want to check out my stuff, go ahead and check it out. It's all there for you to see. So. Thanks again for having me on the show.
Great artwork. Yeah, no, it's thank you for coming on. I definitely want to try to hook up that show. I know it sounds crazy, but it would be a great show. with Javi, myself, and yourself. That would be great. You know, like just Instagram friends and shit, making a podcast, because that's what friends are missing. So listen, yeah, Alan, I want to thank you a lot for your time for coming on. It's been a great experience. Hold on, I'm recording now, so let me just see something here. Here's why I mess everything up. Okay, let me go back in here. I'll edit this out. Stop recording. Welcome to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. I like to cover topics from ancient history, great leaders and generals from the past, and I also like to talk about self-realization, truth, critical thinking, and strategic spirituality. Outside the box, nonconformist. I'm here to shatter the myths of the mainstream media and the beta sheeple narrative. My email address is alphamalebuddhist@gmail.com. My website is alphamalebuddhist.podbean.com. My Instagram is alphamalebuddhist. And check out my YouTube channel, Alpha Male Buddhist, and that's on YouTube. It is the podcast accompanied with video clips that integrate exactly with the podcast, so it's motivational and inspirational. I also have promotional t-shirts. If you go to my website, alphamalebuddhist.podbean.com, you can see the promotional t-shirts there. Reach out to me. Also, if you have any show notes or any suggestions that you would like to hear on the podcast, just reach out and see if I can get that done. I've been getting some really great emails and feedback from my listeners, which is great. So I want to thank you for listening, and namaste.